Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sorry in Advance, the Golic Family Podcast. I am Mike Golic Jr., trying to do this introduction a lot more quickly. I am here with the entire rest of my family. We are probably the only podcast that's got a full rack of seven people on it in any given moment. My mom and dad, Chris and Mike, my brother and sister-in-law, Jake and Jenny, and my sister and her soon-to-be husband, Ben Broniker. So Sydney, Ben, Mom, Dad, Jake, Jen, our powers combined with super producer Mikey A. We are Sorry in Advance. How does that one, does that
wow, that was pretty
that
good.
Was good. That was good.
That was pretty good.
Did you practice that?
No, I didn't. And I'm hungover again, which
I was going to say, you sound terrible right now.
Well, so I did God Bless Football with Dad and Stu Gotts and Mikey A last week, Jake, after the concert that we all went to, and I was hungover and my voice sounded real low and raspy. And I got a lot of internet comments about it sounding kind of sexy. And so I just thought I'd show up hungover from now on.
You're going to start smoking.
Yeah, just start ripping darts.
Yeah, there you go.
Just going and crushing heaters down by the beach. Maybe that'll be my life now.
Oh, that's right. You're sitting in LA in Mr. Sunshine now.
Hopefully. Right now, I'm Mr. Yeah. Pale as hell.
You're in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I've been here for a while. I wasn't saying anything like that. Yeah. No, I'm cool where I am.
Jake, Jenny, and Mikey A are the only cold people right now, right?
Not so good right now. Not so good.
Not so great. All right. Well, I'll tell you what's better. We got a lot of stuff on the docket today. Love is Blind has taken this family by storm, nay, the nation by storm. And I know where all roads lead to with this. So we are going to address the elephant in the room with that coming up here. The question that tore the internet apart the other night that I want to get to and get everyone's opinions on here, because for a podcast that makes its living on Would You Rathers, and we will get to Would You Rather, we will get to Ben's Brain Buster at the end of this. I think this question might even stand above the top of the heap, but we're getting ready to come in here to talk about an exhausted Ben Broniker right now, who just broke world record pace on the rower this morning at Orange Theory. Ben, you may not garner six words in this podcast at this rate. You look like you're dying.
It wasn't a world record.
You're close.
So let's set the standard for that. I mean, it's the 2,000 meter row at Orange Theory Fitness, and there is actual world record for Orange Theory. It's held by a two-time Olympic rower who did 2,000 meters in 5 minutes and 35 seconds. Ben just did it in 5 minutes and 49 seconds, which is absurd.
I was an NFL special teams player, so.
You say that as it doesn't segment you into the top 1% of athletes in this country.
What do you call it?
Listen, he's one of the top athletes in the world.
One of the greatest athletes in the world.
That's exactly right.
We've only had to listen to my dad walk into the kitchen and proclaim that 1,000 times during the course of
now they live together and they both say it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. we walk by and high-five each other and say, yeah, we're one sort of the greatest athletes.
Is that when you guys are on the way to the baths that your significant others have prepared for you?
That's exactly right. Ben has learned the value of a good bathtub prepared by a significant other. There's nothing wrong with that. Jake and Jenny, you guys own the two Orange Theory Fitnesses. 5:49 is an astounding time, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry.
By the way, Jenny had to bounce back over here. Jenny, are you on a fucking exercise ball right now?
It's my new thing. It's very comfortable. You don't need a chair at the back. You just can kind of get your work done. And
does this have anything to do with the pregnancy? You doing it for that, or just no?
You trying to bounce the baby out?
I feel like that induces labor. I thought I heard that.
No, it actually has nothing to do with the pregnancy. I just found it very comfortable to sit on it at the desk.
Jenny, live.
You look like you have to piss.
Oh, no, God. I mean, I do, but I'm all good.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Well, congratulations to Ben on a feat of strength. I can't imagine. Sydney, you had a front row seat to that one. I'm sure it was a terrifying feat of just absolute manhood.
It was fucking horrific to watch. I was like distracted. I like gained time on my own row because I was distracted.
Come on, guys. You're embarrassing me.
What?
This is what she did it.
Oh, gosh, guys.
Oh, shucks. I'll give you a minute to stop. Yeah.
I selfishly wish it was at our studios though, because I would just be posting that and just going with it.
That's the other thing we have to talk about with the Scottsdale studio and content. Like, mom and dad have slowly become the go-to models on Instagram for the Scottsdale Orange Theory right now, and it's rocked our family's world.
Ben was on there too.
Honestly, everyone but me. I must have beaten those photos because they took photos of me and they didn't use them. So
the writing's on the wall, Sid.
Yeah, listen, you can give the people what they want, okay?
Yeah.
Speaking of giving the people what they want, this family has been clamoring for a Love is Blind podcast after watching season 2. And I got to say, so I didn't watch season 1 of Love is Blind. Did you guys?
I did not.
We did, yes.
I did not.
Okay, so you, mom and dad didn't. Sydney and Ben, Jake and Jen all did. So
Ben didn't really watch.
I don't like the show.
Ben hold on now. Ben likes to say he doesn't watch the show, but what he'll do is he'll sit down on the couch when we're watching and have a book up like he's reading it. But every now and then when something happens and we all make a face, Ben's over there smirking as well. So he's kind of watching.
So you know who he is. He's you in The Bachelor.
Yes, exactly. Because I hate The Bachelor.
Because you would do that same thing on the couch when mom was watching, and then you would text us in the family group chat about it. But a premise, so I want to start with this, just premise-wise for the show. So it is how long of the time period for these guys? Because it's 14 men, 14 women who go into this, you know, dating show environment where it's basically a blind date the entire time. They're in pods. They can only hear each other and cannot see each other. And at the end of all of this, they have to propose in order to see each other and then get married 4 weeks later if it all works out here. So do we know how long they date for at the beginning of the show?
Yes, I was reading some more last night after I found out I'm really into it. It's 10 days, no phones, no Wi-Fi, nothing.
All right, so let's start there. Do you guys believe that concept is something that could actually work?
I think so.
I think so. And season one is a proven that. There's still two couples married from season one, and that's now, I think, They're going on, I think, 3 years of marriage
probably
at this
more,
point.
Yeah. Probably
more. Yeah. So at least in the short term, yes, it seems
Didn't
like
season one come out during the pandemic?
Yes, but I believe it was filmed
like
before.
2 years prior.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, gotcha. The quip that I have, sure, the show does give evidence that it is possible that it can work. But remember what I talked about last podcast is that physical attractiveness is one of the key components of interpersonal attraction. The producers know what they're doing. They're not curating anybody that's objectively unattractive. So if you would try this out in the real world where the sample size is way larger, you could come across somebody that you don't find physically attractive. And then, the odds of that happening are way higher.
Yeah, like if you didn't select the sample and you just said, hey, we have 500 people outside, we're going to let the first X amount into the room there, with it truly being a random sample, you think the outcome would be different.
Way different, yes.
Because none of them were like very unattractive.
No, they weren't unattractive, but we did see couples who, when they saw each other, that part of it just didn't jive with them. So,
I'm sure there's a psychologist behind the scenes that's helping provide some sort of basis based on personality and like looks to put together good TV with this.
Either that or the psychologist has us talking to the guys and the girls who aren't getting picked and going, why am I so ugly or something like that?
Well, did I not hear that there were two couples from this season who never made it to TV that actually
came together? So that's a thing too, is, you know, they're going to pick people that their personality, you know, if it were Jake and I, like, we'd be very, like we were saying, you'd be boring. So maybe those people that got married just didn't bring anything to the, like, oh, wow, we do
they
like
had
each
a healthy
other.
Relationship is what
I first was going to watch this, I thought I was going to hate it. And I sit there and I said to Chris after about the second one, I said, God help me. I'm interested in this because it's the complete opposite of how people meet, right? I mean, Jake and Jenny, you've had this discussion where Jenny, you said, "Oh, I'd love Jake if he was some kind of big fat slob," and no, you wouldn't. You know, I think we came to that conclusion, did we not? So
no, we did. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. That's why I have a hard time. Like, why when I watch the show and I see the guys, I'm like, oh, like I wasn't really into a few of them. So. I don't know.
But I think that's what's interesting about it is you have to go complete reverse. You have to get to know the personality before right. you actually see the person physically. I think that's the intriguing part.
Well, and this is what I'd say, because like the concept to me actually reminded me. So when I did the Kilimanjaro climb, we were up there for 6 days with no cell phone use, no TV or anything else. So you were just there in the pod with the people that you had. Now we could all see each other, but my comment coming off of that was, and like, you guys can all appreciate this going through sports training camps at various times and levels, when you're kind of with all your teammates in that way, like you get to know them at a little more rapid pace because you're always together and there's so much forced interaction and there's something you're involved in. Like when we didn't have cell phones and stuff up there, I got to know these people really quickly and you learn so many different things because mm-hmm. all you've got is talking. But the only thing that's like, as someone like, again, like looking at this now through a different lens, you can still present the version of yourself that you want to present when you're just sitting around talking like this. Like they found out when they got to real life and started encountering outside world stuff, like, oh yeah, this isn't 100% of the person I was talking to in the pods.
Right.
Now, this is the other part of all this. Which characters did you guys find yourselves drawn to either loving or hating? Because that's really what this show is about, is who annoys the shit out of you or who did you actually want to see win?
Well, I mean, Shake's the biggest asshole yeah. of all time, right? I mean,
all right. So you guys are gonna have to explain the because I get it. Like Shake to me, like very complicated. But I didn't see, so I'm done at episode 9. You guys can spoil it for me. This is from here on out. Spoilers will be contained in this podcast. So if you have not finished Love Is Blind season 2 and you don't want to get spoiled, stop it right here and pick us up at the end when we start doing the Would You Rathers and the conversations about the chair. But I will ask this: how does it end with Shake and Deeps? Like, does he end up dogging her? Because I feel like that's where this was going.
Nope. So
go ahead, Jake.
Deep is the one that says no to him and essentially says, you never made me feel loved or respected. And she left his ass up on the altar.
It was great.
Oh,
it was yeah. the best part of the whole season.
Yeah. Really don't was. Feel bad for him. He had reservations at Nobu.
Yeah, Mike, you would have loved this. After he got dumped, one of the last things he said is, everything's good. I got reservations this Friday at Nobu. We're like, what the fuck? And on the reunion show, just a complete jag off. I mean, at one point, I thought Nick Lachey was going to beat the shit out of him.
Nick Lachey. His wife. Vanessa. His
wife. Well, I thought Nick was going to, I Vanessa too. Basically, what he said, Mike, they're all sitting there together, and Shake admitted, I'm a guy who likes the physical part of this. He said, in all honesty, the only person up here that does anything for me is Vanessa Lachey.
I couldn't believe he said that either.
Well, because this is the guy who started the freaking season. The audacity of his go-to line at the beginning of the pods where he goes, if we were at a music festival, would you like to get up on my shoulders?
Yeah.
Would it be easy for me to lift you?
It reminds me of an episode of The Office where the people in the office are trying to set Michael up with a date. And his initial question was, would an average size rowboat be able to support the woman?
No, but you know what pissed me off too, talking about that like whole shoulder situation, and Mrs. Gould, you brought this up briefly, but we didn't want to talk about it before today, was that you were like, you know, I started to like Shayna, who I absolutely despise in the reunion. Well, now there's this video going around after the reunion when everyone's ignoring Shake, where she was like, you can put me up on your shoulders. And he did. And there's a video of it, like her showing off that she can sit up on his shoulders. And I was like, this just proves. And that was the one thing that he said about Shayna when she was like in it for the wrong reasons, like to get famous. I'm like, didn't we not all think that about her since the beginning?
I absolutely did. Yeah. That's right. Why she wanted to stick around. And that's why she hung around with Kyle. Yes.
Yes.
Wait, so Shayna was, I think, the most insufferable of the group. Like she is like a kind of like an amalgamation of all the things that are wrong with American culture.
For sure.
Yeah, no.
So, the psychologist knew once again what he was doing. Like, yeah, he set it up great.
What, Mikey, what did you think on that one?
Let me just interject here. Now, we've all rightfully crushed Shake. We've all done that. Mm-hmm. But he called Shayna out saying the only reason she said yes was to continue on the show. And sometimes the asshole, when he's pointed in the right direction, it works for everybody's advantage.
Can I say this like slightly in defense of Shake? Because he started off very, like, very wrong on this show. Mm-hmm. Seemed to admit it. Now, I didn't always buy it. I've been suspicious of him the entire way that he was going to drop it. But he was also one of the few that talked very honestly about his concerns in the relationship, that he just was not physically into this person who he really vibed with on a lot of other levels. And he treated her family with respect, bringing her around his family seemed to be a positive interaction. Like, it seemed like he was very honest. Now, he was talking to others about his concerns and not really her in that regard, but like, it seemed like he was pretty upfront with, this is the way I view this relationship, and that's why I'm concerned. He seemed to be fighting his own urges as someone who had, for admittedly a long time, dated very superficially and ignored the part that he was getting from Deeps.
No, I don't disagree with that. I would just say, though, if I was thinking about this later, we talked about, you know, if you're asking someone if they work out and the questions about being on their shoulder, if you're asking me that, I expect when that door opens that you are shredded. Like, I expect you to look unbelievable on the other side.
Not like Shake, huh?
I'd be like, dude, really?
That part of it is totally wrong, but like, he also, like, it's said on the other side of that. Now, I don't believe that people change that quickly and all of a sudden he was just this, like, perfect introspective person, but like, that didn't really manifest once they got past the pods in the way that he approached this, right?
I think it was, like, kind of always his delivery, don't you?
It was definitely his delivery. Like, it is. It's different strokes for different folks. I mean, like, obviously for some people, the physical attraction is the first thing that drives you into a relationship. And for Shake, that's what it is. But it was the way that he laid out or tried to get those answers about the physical appearance of the person. So it's fine if he came out and said, look, I don't think this is for me. I think I need to see the person first and have that physical attraction first. There would be no harm, no foul in that. But I think the majority of the people on this show were in a situation in their life where they have dated so much based off of looks before and it hasn't worked out, where they thought, hey, this is a different experiment where I can try this to see if I can jive with somebody based on personality alone and look past looks.
Well, I guess to my point was, once you got back that first past that first part, and then Shake even said, hey, maybe this is a little bit more about me and some things that I'm dealing with or haven't dealt with about myself and my own insecurities. And then he really tried to go and approach it and say, hey, I vibe with her on all these other levels. I'm trying to fight the thing that I normally gravitate towards, physical attraction, and make this work because I vibe with her on all these. Like, I felt like he tried to work with
Mikey. Shake.
You like Shake?
You need to watch the reunion, though. I think you need to watch the reunion.
Yeah, watch the reunion, too. Yeah.
Obviously, it sounds like my suspicions were grounded and that he was actually not someone who had changed and maybe was doing this a little bit performative.
Go ahead, Mikey.
I got two more things quick defending Shake, really quick.
Of Shake.
Shake is a salesman. Like, that's what he was from the start. That's what he was at the end. The whole Nobu line, he's a salesman. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the reunion, while I agree, Mike, your opinion will turn on him when you really watch the reunion. The other thing you have to realize, they were lined up like a firing squad, ready to crush him.
From
the time they sat down, they were ready to, like, the... I'm sure you've seen the looks that all the women and even some of the men were giving him. And he probably put him on the defensive, and he went into full-on asshole mode.
But I think along those lines, to Mike's point about camp, when you don't have your phone and you have to get to know everybody really well, I think everybody did get to see Shake as well for what he really was. He was a materialistic douche, I mean, is what he was. And again, it's his right to be that. But it doesn't mean you have to like it.
You know what I think it comes down to, too, is I think he's wildly insecure. So he puts on this front to seem way cooler.
He's trying really hard.
Overcompensating a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to see if anybody agrees with me on this. For Shane and Natalie, who I thought were going to make it. And Shane is just out of his freaking mind. We know that. But the big fight that broke them up was after the Bachelor and Bachelorette party. And I think that all stemmed for the guys' bachelor party, they went to Wrigley Field, and they all got five swings at a ball.
Mikey, have you seen this part?
Have you seen it? They all got five swings at a ball. And by the way, Jared had a stroke. Jared batting lefty was just stroking the ball. Mike, Shane missed every fucking pitch. He was so pissed after it. He just sat in the stands at Wrigley and was just destroying himself. To me, that started his bad mood that led to the fight that broke up him and Natalie.
Wait, wasn't the best part that he commented on, like, Sal's brown leather shoes?
He's like, Sal's in these tight fucking pants and leather shoes.
Yeah. It is hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Great. But I'm telling you, that put him in a bad mood, and that's the night he and Natalie got in the fight that from Natalie's point of view, ended the relationship. I think it all started with five swings and misses at the plate at Wrigley Field. Yes, Mikey.
You just blew my mind because I didn't even put that together. But he was it. You are absolutely right. He got embarrassed in front of his boys and took it out on Natalie. You are 100% right.
Because he looks the most athletic of anybody.
We all thought he was going to smoke the ball.
He did play a sport in college, didn't he?
He played baseball, I thought.
I think so.
Wait, Shane played baseball in college?
I forget. They've referenced it a couple times.
Well, because I was going to say, like, Shane is in very good, like, I've decided Shane is like, what if a Red Bull became a human being? That's Shane.
Oh, Mike, then wait till you see this. Red Bull. Wait till you see this. I mean, because like Sid said, other guys are in tight jeans and
he had
and
like leather, almost looking baseball pants on.
He had baseball pants on.
Just hilarious. I'm telling you, that led to it all. Because I thought those two were one of the more solid couples.
That's what I was going to ask, is when you guys were watching, who did you think would make it? Who were you kind of rooting for in that? Because him and Natalie were the ones that I thought really had a chance. Natalie seems like a genuine ball buster, like, to the point where, like, he seemed like pretty lame a couple of times, having to beg for compliments.
He did.
That came off a little off-putting. But Natalie was, I mean, Natalie seemed great. I thought they had a very good bit of, like, natural chemistry. So I was very sad to hear that.
Can we
that
talk
story,
about Natalie's parents, too, how great they were?
They're fucking amazing. Adorable.
I will say this, like basically everyone's parents outside of Nick's family, whose mom was basically the mayor of Easttown.
Nick's in hell
right now. Nick is in absolute hell. Basically outside, like, honestly, basically outside of, like, his family and one other family, all the parents were lovely.
They were.
Shana's parents.
Shana's
parents scared the shit out of me.
It was Nick's family that sucked, but, like, Deep's family was great. Shake's family was great. Jarrett's dad made me cry talking about wanting to officiate his wedding out there. Yeah. He had opportunities to do others, but God wanted his first to be his son.
Who was the mom who was hammered all the time?
Oh, that was Danielle's mom.
That was Danielle's mom.
My God.
Wendy was fucking lit the whole
time. The whole time, man.
That episode creeped me out more than anything, and I firmly believe it was the producers doing it. But whoever made her brother ask them about their sex life deserves to burn in hell.
It's called good producing, Mike.
It's great producing. That kid is going to need therapy, more therapy than he probably needs, because everyone on the show needs therapy.
You asked about picking couples. I thought for sure that Nick was going to say no. That dude, I've made the reference, every morning he just hands Danielle a BB gun and says, shoot me in the fucking head because this is going to be my day, you know, for the entire day. Day in, give me a ping in the head. Morning, ping in the head.
He's got to be losing his... in the reunion.
Oh, my God. But there's still... really interested if they make it. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Jenny and I said that we thought that the two couples got married were the two weakest couples out of the entire group.
So wait, who did end up making it? It was
Jared and Ayanna.
I thought they were a great couple.
I can't lose sight of the fact that he proposed to another woman 8 days before their wedding.
Said about the ring, couldn't.
And then at the first cocktail hour, went back up to Val and all that, was basically trying to reel her back in.
Can I say an opinion right now? And I don't know if anyone's going to agree with me. I did not like Mallory. Sal deserved way better.
Oh, yeah.
I thought yes. Mallory was half-assing the fuck out of that.
I did too. Yes. I did too.
Can I just say, I, for the first four episodes, could not tell Sal and Kyle apart because they both bored me to tears.
I really like Sal.
Sal puts
Why?
A lot of effort.
Why? What does Sal do? Like, I'm sorry. Like, Sal is a perfectly nice guy, but he is basically a blank slate.
But he sings well.
Whatever you want.
Here's the thing with the singing.
His roommate sang better than him.
Here's the thing with the singing, though. You're going to marry a guy who feels the need to bust out, like, Spanish opera and play a tiny guitar for the rest of your life. Like, you got to think about that.
When they were out on the dock and he was playing the ukulele, she was crying because she wanted it to be over.
He really grew on me, especially in the reunion. I think he like grew a beard. I don't know. I'm into him now. I liked his reason at the altar. I just that it was the wedding and the reunion that I was like, yep, I'm in.
I think that he gave Mallory so many chances, treated her so right. Seems like a genuine guy, like really cares about family. And I just think Mallory wasn't totally in it at all.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, she said Jared was like her type.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And as far as Jarrett, I was finding it hard to basically in the span of 4 weeks, this guy was going out 3-4 nights a week with his buddies, just getting after
it.
And I mean, in a matter of 4 weeks, he was basically had to stop doing that. I just don't know how that one's going to go.
I thought they were cute together, but I don't
think
know
they are cute together. I agree with that. But I wonder more about Jarrett in that one.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Yeah.
So, agreed. So looking at all of this now, so again, you guys said it was Jared and Ayana and then Nick and Danielle
yep.
that end up being the couples that make it and get married. So we've got that on the final side. Did you guys have a favorite moment from season two of Love is Blind that like made you laugh or that stuck out to you overall? If you need a minute to think, I've got mine.
I have my two.
All right. What are your two, Sid?
When Deep D gave her reasoning at the altar, I just thought that was like really empowering mm-hmm. and good. And when Natalie said no to Shane at the altar and her dad went outside and was talking to her and saying how proud of him or proud of her that he is. And just like the sweetest dad stuff. Like it was just.
Yeah.
Like
she said, you always put me first. And that was what I always remembered is that, you know,
Natalie's dad, when he first met Shane was a rock star. He was one of my favorite people in the series. That man is impossibly yes. sweet and a hero at yeah. all.
I follow him on Instagram now. So.
Me too. And she's like she posted the picture of him just like slugging a Coors Light yesterday. It would be like, who's your dad? And it was just him with a Coors Light on the beach.
Wow.
Love him.
I would probably say when Shane missed all five of those pitches, I mean, just blew my fucking mind the way he explained it. Like he said, this fucker's in tight jeans or he's got leather shoes and he hit the ball. I mean, just Mike, you are going to die when you see that part. It's hilarious.
He was swinging for the fences.
Oh,
too.
He really was. And wait till you see Jarrett stroking. I mean, just smoking the ball.
My favorite moment actually turned out to be a lie. One of my favorite things in the show is the moment they see each other. And the best reaction was Shake.
Yes. Yes.
Shake
yes,
saw Deep D. His first word was, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, and I was watching it with my wife, and she's like, that's exactly what I would want. I would want the doors to open and my husband, my future husband, to look at me and go, oh, fuck, yes.
Yes.
And yeah, that and it turned out to be a lie, but yeah.
And grabbed her butt.
Grabbed her ass.
Oh, he didn't like grab her butt.
A whole
like,
handful.
But that's what I find interesting. When he first saw her, he was attracted to her.
He's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then said it was like going out with my aunt.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Jesus. Okay.
You're like, okay, no take backs after that one.
Yeah.
Wait, Mikey, do you have something else off that?
I was actually just going to wonder, did anybody else feel like Shane looked like if Carson Palmer and Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit had a baby?
Oh, God.
I would do this one better. Carson Palmer and Gary Busey.
Yes.
Gary Busey's a great one.
Yeah, it's a good
that
one.
That is, because of all the twitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the
Judge Doom, you remember me, Eddie, when I killed your brother?
I said Shane always looked like he was like keeping his eyes out for an assassin that he knew was after him. Everywhere, just looking around.
Shane Gase.
Oh, there you go.
Have we ever spoken about something so passionately on this
podcast?
No,
this took me by surprise.
Yeah, me too. I did. I was not expecting to like the show. It. No, wait, I still hate The Bachelor.
Mikey, would you go on Love is Blind?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Before, because I knew this was going to be the elephant in the room. So before we get to this, can I just say my favorite moment? Because I think you guys will all agree this was incredible. Danielle's obsession with her friends potentially breaking one of Nick's tables.
Yeah.
I just love the idea that she's got so much Bill's Mafia coursing through her veins that she cannot walk into a room without thinking about, I want to fuck this table up. Like, because they got in the, they kept getting the arguments about the dumbest thing. And they argued for 45 minutes dressed like, I think that she was in a taco costume.
It was like a corn on the cob.
He was a corn on the cob and she was a hot dog. And they were arguing about the hypothetical situation where her friends have to dance on tables and they have to get up on these tables.
I feel like I did not see that.
I don't know.
Did we miss it? We might have missed an episode.
It was when they were in Danielle's apartment. And they went over and they were talking about her table that had a part broken.
I did not see that.
And she goes, yeah, my friends, we like to get crazy. She had a blow up air guitar because that's, you know, how white girls in Chicago want to get crazy. We play.
Or where they're going to put the 2002 video game system.
Yeah, my garage band. Rock band.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember the garage. The rock band.
Danielle was just too much.
She just walked into every room wanting to destroy whatever table was in her vicinity. And it just brought me so much joy because I'm like, she's just scanning the room for exit.
All right, now answer the question, Mike. Mike, now answer the question. Would you go on Love is Blind?
Absolutely not. I wanted to make that 100% clear to you guys that in no world, while I appreciate this show better produced than The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I thought they did a phenomenal job. I thought it was hilarious. The music and needle drops on this show, they don't give you a second to think about emotions for yourself. They are going to spoon feed it to you like a baby with the song. This is what you are supposed to feel right now. I thought they did a great job of storytelling, the Storm Offs. I appreciate the show. It is an art form. Not in a million years. No, because ultimately to me, it's still a flawed process. Like we've all been saying, like, you need to date the complete person. It's not even just the physical part. It's the fact that when they get into real life and you got different stimuli out there, it changes the equation. Because again, we talked about the dating apps. You get to present the version of yourself you want. On this show, in those conversations, you still get to present the most idealistic version of yourself possible. And they've got their notes there. They've got really weirdly typed out notes inside of moleskin notebooks, which was very bizarre to me. But you've got all of that, which is basically a way to say, I am still approaching this in a way that is calculated. And for me, that's a no-fly zone.
If you had to go on one, The Bachelor or this, which one would you go on though?
Mike's way too superficial. He needs a girl with big tits.
Oh.
That's pretty much what you're just trying to say the last 2 minutes.
God, I mean, honestly.
Is it a lie? Spot the lie there.
Listen, we can go back to the records and I can tell you a few mistruths about that. But I will say this. The one thing that might swing it over the top is this show. Very much on State Street, the spread that they got in their room.
Yeah, it was good.
It seemed like you had a lot more available to you. The Bachelor and Bachelorette, there's all this food that you never see them touch on set.
Yeah.
They were eating the shit out of this food on Love is Blind.
The two things that I want to say about that is that I heard the sleeping arrangements on Love is Blind are terrible. You're sleeping in like trailers with like military style bunks. And that one room is like the only nice part. And my second point is, I really read too much.
It did look eerily like the Squid Game setup to me.
Yeah.
So.
My second point is, what is up with the one final thing, the gold chalices that went from everybody from the apartments to the beach to the pods? Like,
I'm so glad somebody else noticed that.
No, I heard that so they can use different scenes at different times. Like, so it's all the same, like, continuity. It's all the same looking utensils. So you can use different scenes and make it seem like it's going on, you know, one after another.
Another.
Wow.
Okay.
No,
it was also so they don't have to pay any sponsors.
So I was wondering, in one scene down by the beach, Natalie goes over to the side in the middle and cracks a beer, and you get a very up close look at the Coors Light logo. I was wondering if that was their one bit of plot product placement, because it seemed like they didn't let anything else sneak through the glass. Like, there was clearly a Corona Light seltzer in one of the rooms that they turned the logo away on. Like, it was all meticulously done. I need someone to go and look and see if Coors Light paid them for that bit of product placement, because it was noticeable.
Yeah.
Season 3 is already done filming.
Oh, there we go.
Do we know what city? No.
I was trying to find it.
I could guess, like, maybe like Denver. I could see them doing like Denver.
All of these people were very painfully Chicago. Like, Sydney and Ben, you guys spent a ton of time in that city. It seems like they were just plucked straight out of Social 25.
Yeah. And we were so jealous. They went to one of our favorite restaurants where Kyle and Shayna were trying to mend their relationship. We were like, oh, Canela, best place ever.
very Chicago.
Okay. We've heard Mike doesn't want to go on Love is Blind, but we will convince him. But I have a question for the parents here. Which one of your kids would be the best on that show, and which of your kids would be the worst?
Sydney would be the worst. Because she wouldn't try very hard.
Yeah.
She would just...
I just also, like, have very, 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 like, particular standards. Like,
99% of the time, Sid would be disappointed at what she sees.
Yeah. How much do you make a year before...
really bad.
Yeah, that would be the question. Sydney would be like shaking, getting those questions in on just how much money do you have.
Yeah. If we were going to go to a festival and it cost $2,000 at the gate to get in, how easy for that would it be for you to pay that?
How many
friends can I bring?
Yeah. When the guy's talking to Sid, it's talking about, oh yeah, I kind of played sports. But did you play professionally?
Yeah. Well, so what are your stats?
Are you vested?
And I think Jake would be the best at it.
Jake would probably be the best.
I think he would be so bad.
Jake?
You do? Why?
Yes, because, like, for instance, I came home last night and he didn't do anything. You don't talk. You can't
put us in the same bubble, though. You have to separate.
All right.
Go ahead and continue the story.
Jen, did you... Hey, speaking of last night, did you bring Jake something home last night?
Pound cake.
Yeah, but I ate it.
Is that because you're eating for two?
Wait. So is this the nexus of what happened? Because you're saying that you came home and Jake ignored you, basically?
No, it's when I come home and I have, like, I was working yesterday and then I had to go help my mom with stuff. So I wasn't home all day. And I feel like get home, we talk at the end of the day, and Jake just started going like this. Like, sorry, he was giving me the shh.
No, I was telling you to breathe, because when you get excited about something, you start talking about five different conversations at once. So I said, just recenter for a second.
But then, you know what I did test you to? I started a story and then a commercial started that you wanted to watch. And I tested you. I didn't even tell you this. Because I said, okay, at the end of the commercial, the normal thing would be like, finish your story. And Jake just went back to watching YouTube. And I was like, I absolutely knew it. But I guess you're right, like, thinking about Sydney being the worst. I do believe Sydney would be the worst. I still think Mike would be better than Jake, because Mike has, like, deeper conversations.
Mike will have a lot more conversation. There's no doubt about it. But we know Mike is a physical type as well.
Yeah. Jake would be more open to people, I feel like.
Jake, would
I
you?
I feel like that makes me sound ugly. Jake would definitely be good.
That kind of leads us into the story from over the weekend.
God.
Jake and Jenny. You went out on Saturday night.
So
everybody, again, Jenny is how far along are you in pregnancy?
Almost 22 weeks.
22 weeks pregnant.
So 5.5 months. And, you know, women, Mrs. Golic, chime in, like, you don't feel great about yourself. Like, it's such, the pregnancy glow is a myth. Like, I feel like shit. And I had a bad week last night, like, whatever, couldn't work out, felt the worst I've ever felt. And we go out to a baby, Jack and Jill baby shower, and Jake, like, dressed up. He looked really great. And we left. I said, wow, you look really nice. He's like, thanks. And then we got home and I complimented him again, because he really did. He looked really good. And I go in the shower or I go into the bathroom and I'm like struggling to get my leggings off. I'm like, you know, just looking like shit. And I walk out and Jake's like, you know, Jen, after I complimented him twice, you really, I want you to be more supportive.
No, no, no.
No, yes, you said, I want you to be, okay, fine, not more supportive. You said, I want you to be supportive. Did you not use the word supportive?
Jake, what did you say in your own words?
I said, I know the timing of this, what I'm about to say, is not the best given where you're at in your pregnancy. I essentially said, I'm hitting a really good stride right now. And I, and I said, despite where you're at in your pregnancy, I need you to be supportive of the good track that I'm on right now because I feel like I look the best I've ever looked.
Oh my God! You said this to a 5 month pregnant woman.
Saying it, I said, the timing, I understand the timing is bad that I'm hitting a great stride while you are not feeling so good about yourself, but I just needed to tell somebody.
So, like, to the point that this is the, you guys have been to our house, our bathroom's right off our kitchen. So Jake's in the kitchen, like, half naked, talking about himself. And I have the toothbrush in my mouth. My left breast is like hanging out because nothing fits me anymore. And I'm looking at him and I just like took the toothbrush out and I was like, really? I just complimented you. He's like, I know, but I got like this tea going on and I just want you to understand. And he starts describing the way his body looks. I go, we need to call your mom right now. Like, we have to call somebody who understands.
Oh my God.
Not good.
Jake, oh talk God, about Jake. Timing. Wow. Jake, you keep saying, but I said, I know the time. That's like people saying, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's a but.
That's with all due respect.
No offense. No offense. Right.
It was something in my head that made sense to me. And then I could not portray what I was saying appropriately to 22-week pregnant.
Like, say it back to yourself now. Does it sound any better?
No, it sounds pretty bad.
Listen, two compliments within a 5 hour span. Like, it's not like I had not.
No, right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Wow.
Dear God.
That was Shane Golick.
How about you? Just
Shane Golick.
Shane Golick.
I would probably just suggest keeping your mouth shut from like week 30 on.
I am just done talking, man.
Yeah.
Done talking.
He'll be doing this again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, Ben's not going to have any issues with that when Sydney's pregnant. He's just going to go to jujitsu again and just get the hell out of the way.
He's going to be like, oh, I got a really big study day. I'm not going to be home for 3 to 5 business days. I'm just going to.
I'm going to go to the gas station, grab a couple of cigarettes.
For sure.
I'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
My God. All right.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Not I'm sorry. Late. You look great. Go ahead. Mm-mm. Compliment me.
You do look good.
You look great, Jen. You look great, Jen.
Great.
Yeah.
Jen, you look how many weeks pregnant you do after I eat a meal. So
yeah.
It's fine.
Ben's not disagreeing.
We're all
either,
good.
So.
We're all good.
Dear God. All right, wait. I gotta ask you, and I know we've run pretty long today. Love is Blind has done this to us here. But do we have Brain Buster and Would You Rather?
Yeah. Ben has a brain buster. Yeah.
I think I'm going to push the other question for a podcast because it's so good. I don't know, Mikey, what should we do on this one here? Should we get it out of the way?
I don't even know what the question is, but yeah, we can push it.
Yeah, let's push it. We need to get a brain buster.
We teased it at the beginning. I feel bad because I think it's going to incite a fair amount of discussion here. I don't want this to go too much longer here. So, Dad, why don't you Would You Rather and Brain Buster? We will give you the question that rocked the internet at a subsequent pod here.
All right, I just had a couple of quick ones. Let's start with Sydney on this one. Would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef?
She's got both right now.
I know you do, but away from that, what would you rather have?
Which one are you, Mike?
He's neither.
Oh, listen.
He's neither.
We're all both between me, Chris, and Ben. We're all both to her.
Don't
right
act
now
like you do shit in
what
here,
do you
Dad
do?
What do you, wait, whoa, what whoa, do you whoa, do? Whoa, 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 look up. Look up.
Besides that part.
Uh-huh. Isn't that enough?
I would rather have a chef.
You'd rather have a chef. So you'd have a personal chef in a messed up house.
Yeah, I'd figure the other part out. But I mean, like, they can make you like top tier food. They can make it healthy if they want to. Like, they just.
Sydney's got very high standards for a lot of things. Personal hygiene and cleanliness around the house are not things.
He makes it act like I don't shower. I take like 4 baths a day. Like, it's just because I don't brush my hair. Jenny, you can relate to this. He's like, why don't you brush your hair? I'm like, because I have really curly hair. If yeah. you brush curly hair,
it's not just the brush brushing.
It. Yeah, Sydney, don't act like that's the only part of your lifestyle that's messy.
He brought that up. He brought that up.
Do you shower or is it all baths?
I took a shower like 3 days ago.
You're pretty active. That.
But I take baths with soap.
But like, that's just human soup.
That's water. That's sweat water. That's
yeah.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine too.
I think it's fine too. And Ben has now gotten into baths.
Too. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Again, to like out my dad here, he's been taking baths in my mom's retread bath water for going on a couple of decades now.
Yeah. What do you think? Your mother, what do you think when she gets out, it's like black water then? I mean,
I think if she goes in with the intent to clean herself, that water is now dirty and you are going in and steeping in human stew.
Okay.
I do agree with Mike. I can't believe I'm saying this. I agree with Mike.
But you love baths.
I love a bath. I have to shower.
That's part of enjoying it.
But I do have to like rinse off if I've worked out before I take it. But the thought of going in Jake's bath water.
So you guys have never shared a bath?
No.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay.
You wouldn't share. Would you?
I would not.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting. I don't even think twice.
But it'll share my toothbrush. So
toothbrush, no problem.
Yeah, toothbrush is no issue at all.
Wait, that's inherently self-cleaning.
Wasn't he using your toothbrush for like 3 weeks or something?
Out of spite, yes, because she held both of our toothbrushes in front of my face and said, "Yours is this one, mine is this one," and I felt slated by the situation, so I, out of spite, used her toothbrush.
It was
a month.
Pink and blue, so I thought it was pretty obvious which one was which.
But he didn't like the delivery.
Yeah, nope. Those are spite brushes.
Yeah,
Mike, look, because you're the only one here who lives alone. Sorry, but you do. Would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef?
I don't know why you're sorry. It's dope. It would be chef. I think at some point there's a physical limit on what a maid can do to improve the situation. Like if you get a chef that really knows what they're doing, you're, you know, handing an artist a paintbrush with a much more extensive palette. So I would go on the chef side for sure. Higher ceiling.
Would anyone pick maid?
No, I would go chef too.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the maid.
The challenger has entered.
I would go maid in a second. First off, I love to cook. And second, the worst part about cooking is cleaning up.
That's
true. I
would
have to do that. I get to be an artist now. I don't have to do all the grunt work.
That's a good point.
That's true.
That is a good point. That's a good point.
It's kind of you had your Shane baseball moment right there.
You did.
But I didn't miss.
Exactly.
Well done. Well done.
All right. Brainbuster.
Brainbuster time for Ben.
All right, you guys. Yeah, Ben, aspiring doctor right now, getting ready to embark on the med school journey. He's the only one of us that could probably still pass the SATs. He is going to make you smarter here, hopefully.
Yeah, so speaking about Love is Blind and relationships that have got no shot, I've got some facts on divorce.
You're getting married in a
You're
month,
watching
man.
A scary movie before bed.
Yeah.
For what I'm paying for this wedding, you damn well all better stay married.
Yeah. I've got a great follow-up fact for that. Actually, higher spending on both the engagement ring and the wedding has been linked to shorter marriage duration.
Come on!
Really?
Yep.
You guys are going to be married minutes? For a week.
This thing is DOA.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Don't say that.
Come on.
Yeah. So very quickly, a lot of people have heard, it's common knowledge that the divorce rate in America is 50%. Actually, that number is from the 1980s, where divorce rates peaked. Now, almost every age group has declined to a national average of about 42 to 45%, except for among those age 54 to 64, the divorce rate has quadrupled in the last 30 years.
Oh, people are living together. It wasn't as socially acceptable for people to live together back then. So these people, the younger people, they're not getting married. That's why the divorce rate is lower. They're just living together.
That sounds to me like empty nesters. That sounds to me like people whose kids left and they looked at each other and said, who are you?
I agree with that. Oh, they got to a point in their life that they felt like they could get divorced. But I think that the lower rate at a younger age,
because they're not getting married.
Getting married.
Yeah. But I would agree.
I would agree about that.
The higher divorce rate for our age is the fact that, you become empty nesters and then you go, okay, what the hell do we have in common anymore?
Yeah. Right. Or you hit a midlife crisis.
Right.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
We'll see how it goes for you guys.
Yeah. Fingers crossed over here.
I would say between you guys and the wedding and engagement ring combo here,
yeah,
we're gonna put some positive vibes back into the universe now. This is all gonna go.
Yeah, because right now it's not, the odds are not with you and I or with Ben and Sydney. What the hell?
Ben, what'd you do?
What'd you do, Ben? Why would you get this info?
Knowledge is power, man. Now that we know the facts out there, we can fight against it.
All right.
No offense, Mr. Golic, you would not live without Mrs.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I'm the first one to admit it.
Oh, okay.
I would be on the couch watching Netflix, praying to God that somebody knew passwords to get into anything financial in our life.
You'd pass away in the recliner.
Listen,
or in the bathtub. He wouldn't be able to take a bath.
I'd be like, Sydney, make your dad a bath. How gross would that be?
Imagine his blood sugar levels. Yeah. Your mom to hold him in check. He'd lose his eyes in a week.
Oh my God. Guys, wait a minute.
Dad would show up to Thanksgiving looking like one of those pugs on Instagram without two eyes. And
come on. I'm a little more. I would be able to last for a while.
Maybe. Whatever the contents of the fridge are gone.
Yeah.
Every time we go to the grocery store, he'll say, I got that while you were gone. And it's like different pieces of cake or. Yeah. I mean, he has no off switch when I'm not home.
My issue is I have trouble making decisions. So that would probably be one of the I'd be forced to make decisions.
You would.
Yeah.
It would not be great.
No, it wouldn't.
Dead in a week.
No, living with one of you guys in a week. It depends. You guys could draw straws for who I'd be living with.
Dear God. All right. We'll draw straws for that on the next podcast.
They all look very panicky.
Yes, they do. No one else
does. Why do you think I'm rushing us towards the exit here, Mikey?
I have a question. Who would you rather have come live with you, me or Dad?
Mom.
Fuck you.
Again, Mr. Golic.
Honestly, Ben might have a different answer.
Wait a minute. that's for another podcast. We're gonna do a living together podcast. We're gonna delve into the quick answers that you guys just gave and may want to rethink those.
Dan, I want you to come arm next podcast with reasons why we would want you to live with us.
Okay. Yeah.
There we go. You and Mom each prepare your resume for why you think we should want you to live with us if you guys were to get divorced.
We'd never get advent calendars anymore.
Save it for the podcast, Jenny. Save it for the podcast. Wow. Download, subscribe, rate, review. Please leave us 5-star ratings in here. I'm actually going to go back and read one because we promised to do this, and I thought it was particularly good this last time. All right, here we go. On the last podcast, we talked about me potentially wearing priest garbs as I officiate Sid and Ben's wedding. Ace21 tweets in Mike Golic Jr. It's a 5-star review left on Apple Podcasts. He said, I really hope Mike leans into the whole priest thing and listens to confessions before the wedding starts. I would also love if he goes full radio and starts plugging sponsors during a sold ceremony. May I now have the rings, which are brought to you by K Jewelers. Every kiss begins with K.
Nice.
So, sponsors, if you are looking to potentially get in on the action.
We are definitely open to that.
Yes, we are.
We will sell portions of the wedding and this podcast. So, again, leave us a 5-star rating in the podcast sections like Ace91, Ace21. Get them right of the podcast. Life will be good. Thank you. And as always, we're sorry in advance.
I'm not.